Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome again to the Highfalutin Ski Bum Podcast. This is episode number 33.
33, an accomplishment.
33, yes. We've come this far, so far, because where we will go, we do not know.
A lot more to go.
Onward and upward. Pre-greatness, near an end. It's a beautiful thing. So, yes, please check us out on our website, skibumpodcast.com. There is a link to go to iTunes where you can subscribe and give us 5 stars because you're awesome and we thank you.
You guys got to show us some love.
Facebook/SkiBumPodcast or Twitter at SkiBumPodcast. This week, it is I, your host Brian, and of course your co-host Mario.
Hello, up, Mario? Guys. I think we have a special treat for everyone this week.
Oh, we do. The third mic is out. We have the beautiful, the lovely, the mesmerizing Andrea with us today.
Yeah. Aw, shucks.
What's up, darling? How are you?
Hey.
You got to dress this place up for us because, it's just us two ugly mooks.
There's just too much testosterone here.
Need a little estrogen.
Need a little estrogen over here. Beautiful. So how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Excited to be back on the podcast?
Always.
I've been trying to get you back, but you're like, I'm too busy. I got things to do. Moving, shaking, getting stuff done, preparing for ski season.
Well, what can I say?
I'm always like, Brian, you know that person that was on the podcast? See if you could talk to them about getting on again.
She's hard to book, you know? She's got a very full calendar.
Like, you guys do, like, live in the same place, right?
Allegedly, we do, yes.
Well, you have to miss me. That's why it's so special.
Oh, absence makes the podcast grow fonder.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. So, yes, we are here. We are back again. And it is going to be Halloween this week. So, our topic this week, are you scared?
You have to see his face when he does this.
Yeah, I'm glad you have to live with him because I couldn't. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's a lucky lady, as we all know. So yes, are you scared? We're going to talk about things that are scary on the mountain. Yes. But first, Mario,
are you ready for a little weekly flavor?
Little bit of weekly flavor. Again, because it is Halloween, Mario, what pray tell are you consuming?
I am consuming a Long Trail Pumpkin Ale.
Ooh.
5.5% dark amber brown, nice pumpkin-y flavor. I would say similar to like a pumpkin pie-ish, but a little bit lighter. And I wouldn't call this on the light side. I wouldn't call it the dark. It's right in the middle. Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right in between. It's
very
nice. And it's our friends up at Long Trail, so we'll be seeing them. Definitely going to get to the brewery, maybe have some triple bags, have maybe some fresh pumpkin on draft. I don't know. We'll see what they got.
What's a space juice? Is that the one?
No, that was the Elysian, the space.
Elysian. But
yeah.
They do something else also, Long Trail, some sort of space juice or not space dust. That's the Elysian. But
that's the Elysian.
I think it's like space juice or space astro juice.
You like it
or
juice?
Long Trail does one like that too.
It's called you like it or juice.
Speaking of Elysian, I am having the Elysian Punk Uccino, which is a coffee pumpkin ale. It's brewed with Stumptown coffee, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg. You actually get mostly coffee flavor out of this beer. It's really, really good. It gives a nice little caffeine punch. And I dig this. This is really, I drink this all year. It's really just that good. It isn't like super overwhelming pumpkin. It's more a coffee flavor than anything else.
It's very, it's lighter than I thought. It's very good.
Yeah, it's not even like a stout. I mean, it almost smells like a stout, you know, because it seems like it'd be really thick. But no, it's an ale and it's really easy to drink. Little buzz from the coffee, little buzz from the beer. And it's really, really tasty. Yeah.
I love that. The Punkuccino. It's so good.
It's so good, right?
Yeah.
It isn't like overwhelmingly pumpkin.
It's actually refreshing.
Yeah, because
I wouldn't think it. I think it would be a little bit heavier on the.
Yeah, last weekend we had so many different pumpkin beers, even before the podcast, and like a couple days before. And one of them I had was the Southern Tier Pumpkin, which is good, but that is pretty much pumpkin pie in liquid alcoholic form. It is so sweet and so flavorful. I mean, it's good, but if you like beer, you're probably not going to like that.
That's the one thing I like about the Long Trail. It's not too sweet.
No, the Long Trail one's pretty good too. Yeah, they did a really nice job.
Yeah,
I did look up. They do have space juice. It's a double IPA.
There you
limited
go.
Limited edition double
space IPA. Juice. And they have the sick day now.
It's all because of Mission to Mars. All we're going to see is space beers come out. It's going to be a space forward culture.
Listen, like we talked about, I think Elon Musk is already there. I think they've already got a colony set up.
He didn't make his big announcement, did he?
He hasn't, no, because he's getting things ready on Mars. Because
he's there. He's already there.
Yes.
Boom. Elon, if you're listening to us, because we know you tune in.
Yes. You know you're a fan.
Oh, I saw a Tesla today. I took a picture of it on the road. Had all these bumper stickers on it. And I was like, what the hell are you doing this Tesla?
Well, maybe they were magnetic. They were
no, these were bumper stickers. They were ghetto ass bumper stickers. I got
it. Is that like a Bernie Sanders 2016 sticker?
I actually think it was. Yes, it Bernie Sanders. Here it is.
Oh, was it really? Oh my God, I was joking. Yep, of course it was. Bernie Sanders.
Like three of them.
It's got three Bernie Sanders stickers. Feel the burn.
Isn't that really? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Predictable.
So you see the nice Tesla. Really nice going down. And I was like, oh, that's it. And I was like, I had a double. There's a few pictures. I had a like double take because I was like, that can't be a Tesla. There's bumper stickers on it.
Who would trash up a Tesla like that?
There's somebody out there that feels that strongly.
They're feeling the burn.
Feeling the burn.
I can't tell what model is, if it's like the P85S or anything.
It was the S.
Well, no, it's the Model S, but then they have like the P85, which is like the performance edition. That wouldn't be an S. They have a P85 and they have P85D, which is the dual motor, which is the all-wheel drive, which Tesla, if you're listening, I know you said you wanted to sponsor us, Highfalutin Ski Bums, all-wheel drive testing this winter. Please get back to us. We'd be very happy to have your car put our wrap on it so that we can be seen and, you know, do some all-weather testing, get the word out there, spread the love that you can be a ski bum and you can drive a Tesla. We want to. That's the kind of lifestyle we want to project, and we think you would be the perfect sponsor. So get back into contact with us, and we'll make this happen.
So all I know is that person, I think, was drinking space juice before they put them stickers on.
They may have been. Or organic wheatgrass juice.
Hey, whatever.
Possibly. Andrea, what pray tell are you consuming this lovely evening?
I'm drinking the Sriracha Pale Ale by Flying Dog.
Ooh.
And it's really, it's good. I don't get the immediate sriracha taste, but there's definitely the heat element to it, like the aftertaste. It's spicy, right? Yeah, it's like it's spicy, and
I thought there was a little sriracha flavor.
Yeah,
it was like a tingly little bit of sriracha, like a hint.
See, I didn't get
it. Wasn't
that
very strong, but I thought it was kind
of
cool.
I guess it depends what you're expecting. Yeah, because if you're thinking like just think of like a bottle of sriracha, like just spraying it in your mouth with a little bit of like a little bit of beer,
well,
like you're not getting that.
I guess you kind of think of like where you taste the sriracha on your tongue.
You
know,
eat
like
a lot of hot
it.
Food, right?
Yeah, which is why I thought
I'd
love this.
See, I don't. So I'm kind of like, maybe I taste it more than
maybe
you do.
Taste it. Yeah, maybe that's why. I don't know, but I mean, just, you know, you picture what it tastes like, and like I said, you know, you get the heat element, but I just don't taste the flavor, but it's still delicious. I mean, I really like it.
Yeah, very interesting. Good.
Yeah, it's good.
Wasn't like, you had like a martini, a sriracha martini that one time. We're in Atlantic City.
Oh God, that was ridiculous.
I almost thought it was going to be like that undrinkable. But
was that Atlantic City or was that?
That was Atlantic City.
Yeah,
Knife and Fork.
That steakhouse we went to, right?
Knife
and Fork.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place was great.
That was great.
That place was awesome. But yeah, I forget what the guy. I don't know what he talked me into with that.
It was either a sriracha martini or a sriracha gimlet or something like that. And
I don't think it was even sriracha. I think it was just like hot pepper or something. A chili.
It was
chipotle,
a vodka base with some sriracha sauce, I think.
Vodka
in it.
Or something.
All I know was hot as. It was almost like a sriracha Bloody Mary. It was really hot.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking too? There's a Mexican restaurant, like Dos Caminos, that one we went to in the city. They have that chain. They do a margarita. And I think it's called like a Durango.
Hmm.
And they make it with like a chipotle tequila. And it is so hot and spicy.
It's delicious, though.
Yeah, if you want that, if you want like a margarita,
you got to have it before
the
eating
right
or something. He was trying to eat it with his steak, drink it with his steak. And I was like, dude, that doesn't go with the steak. You're ruining the steak
with
flavor.
My lobster Thermidor.
Buds, yeah.
I'm trying to enjoy my lobster Thermidor, and I have just this just burn going on in my mouth. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it would be good with the. But that actually is very drinkable.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That's really good.
That'd be good with Mexican food or something.
Chipotle?
Chipotle. Oh, bring one of those into Chipotle. Roll in and just bam. How you like that? I brought my own Chipotle.
What are you going to do? Minimum wage restaurant employee. You going to call the police? Going to kick me out? There's a line of 37 people. Make their goddamn burritos. Shut the fuck up.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. That's what you got to do. Whew. Assert dominance.
Be like, everybody just chill out. We're okay. I'm just drinking my sriracha beer in the corner. I don't want any trouble, man.
I'm going to hop in my Tesla with my Bernie Sanders stickers and get out of here as soon as I'm done drinking this beer.
That's right. We can all just relax and chill out.
Just be cool, man.
Remain calm, man.
Yeah.
It's all good.
All right. So this week, we have one follow-up that we'll get to. I think it's actually a follow-up to a follow-up.
It's a double follow-up. We did the double follow-up.
Yeah, we've discussed The Shining a lot lately for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe because it's in it was filmed in Colorado and it's getting to be winter and...
Well, it's around, you know, Halloween, and I tell you, the place looks great. The Stanley Hotel,
yes.
I want to get out there. It looks, like, pretty cool. I want to get out there in the day, not stay overnight.
Yeah, I know, right? So, The Shining Hotel is going to get even scarier as it adds a horror museum to it. This is pretty cool. So, the Stanley Hotel is now adding, they announced plans to open a horror museum as well as a film production studio and archive. The proposed Stanley Film Center will feature both indoor and outdoor entertainment venues, including a 500-seat auditorium and a 30,000-square-foot interactive museum and discovery center featuring rotating exhibits such as The Walking Dead, according to the statement.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess they're making it kind of a destination, you know, for movie buffs, for horror fans, just another revenue stream for them.
Well, like we were talking last week, anything that people say is haunted, people flock to. So there's that one hotel in Boston where they said it's booked up for like a year because everybody wants to stay in the haunted room.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know what's wrong with people.
I don't know, but it's like bugs to a light, I tell you.
Yeah, Andrea's sister just encountered a ghost a few weeks ago on a trip to Georgia.
Do tell.
Yeah. You know what? And I don't remember the name of the hotel, but it
was in Augusta.
It was in Augusta, Georgia.
Look it up.
And I don't
a lot of old Southern ghosts down there.
Yeah,
I should text her. But
it's like Civil War ghosts, slavery ghosts, pre-settling ghosts. There's all sorts of ghosts.
Here's my problem with ghosts, and I think I said this last week. Why aren't there any new ghosts? If they're only ghosts from like the 1800s or the 1700s or blah blah blah. Why isn't there any like ghost of Kurt Cobain or like? You know, like ghosts.
Modern ghosts matter.
There's no modern ghosts.
Modern ghosts matter,
They're too. All old ghosts. You know, and that kind of bugs me.
I think there's a maturity to the ghosts. There is.
Like you have to go through like ghost puberty almost?
At least 100 years of like ghosting. And then people are like, all right, there's a ghost in there. I'm not going in that freaking place.
It's like a scotch. You have to age your ghost, you know.
You got to get your rhythm down. You got to get, you know, your mojo working with your ghost stuff.
Because, you know, it's kind of like being like a Jedi or a ninja. You know, because you have to kind of harness your skills. You can't just go around like whooping ass when you first start taking kung fu class.
Yeah. Ghost whoop ass. You got to
take time and train and harness your ghost
I wonder if they train
skills.
With other ghosts. Train with other ghosts to be a real ghost. Like Casper. Casper did it. The little baby Casper cartoon. He used to train with the other ghosts.
So like the Karate Kid, but the Karate Ghost.
Yes.
Like dead Mr. Miyagi and like
yes, sensei.
Dead Ralph Macchio could be ghosts. Training, being trained,
yes,
to come back, and now would they fight evil ghosts or evil living creatures?
They only get to be a ghost after the ghost training montage.
We're gonna need a montage. Even Rocky had a montage. But that's
get out of that.
So does the ghost train? Does he fight ghosts or does he fight living things?
I think he trains with other ghosts, and then part of his training is to start doing little scares and then scares the shit out of people once he starts making big time.
Does that mean it's harder to fight another ghost or harder to fight a living thing?
Ghostbusters kicked all their ass. That's all I know.
I ain't afraid no ghosts.
You could be a giant Stay Puft Man and they still kicking ass.
Even beat Vigo.
Vigo.
The great Vigo.
Vigo. The terrible. What was he? He was like basically Vlad the Impaler. Yeah. Kind of dude. That I tell you, if you ever read stories on that, it's freaking terrifying.
The impaling?
Yeah, just the level of brutality in that.
They would like, you know, because in impaling, you think just you jab a spike in someone, they're dead. No, like you slowly slide down,
and they're still alive while they're impaled.
It takes hours to die. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they said he did fields of people, just freaking horrible.
It's called asserting dominance.
He was dominating that dojo. Nobody wanted to mess with him.
Well, they're saying, too, that like Genghis Khan, like, isn't it like one out of five or one out of ten males in Asia can tie their lineage to Genghis Khan?
Actually, I think it's not just males in Asia. I think it's everybody. People. Almost like in the globe, there's like a connection.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's amazing. I mean, the amount of people he killed and helped create raped. Are insane. There wasn't rape back then. It
he
was
did a lot.
Population, like repopulating the countrysides that he would.
Well, the thing with Genghis Khan, though, I think he's a little. Everybody remembers the brutality, but if you look, I read a history book on it not too long ago, and he did a lot for like joining cultures together and freedom of religion, freedom of like women's rights. Like he was like, he did a lot.
They
for
have the
that.
Right to be raped. Just nope. once.
He did a lot for that. He did a lot for that. Like more than like the you know, the Middle East is it's totally different than it is, you know.
Well, they said one of the gangster things that the Mongols would do is they would come in and they would, you know, sack a city. And then they would leave, making people think they were gone, and they would come back like a day later and just decimate
the
place.
Hey, everybody's hiding.
Just
I'm gonna
wipe them
get
out.
You.
Yeah.
Crazy.
They said that's why Baghdad is still so fucked up now. That whole, you know, Iraq, Iran, Middle East is because of what was done to them. That was the center of learning back in like the 1200s and stuff before the Mongols came in.
Crazy.
And he said the rivers actually flowed red and black with the blood and the ink of all the books and stuff in the library, the writings, because it was all thrown in the river.
Hmm.
Crazy. I mean,
cray.
Think about your problems you have in modern day life. Oh my God, I'm in 10 minutes of traffic.
Traffic.
There, it's, oh God, these guys on horses are going to come and slaughter us and then rape us and then slaughter us and rape us again.
So think of it this way. If we didn't have traffic to worry about, people would be bitching about something else.
Yeah.
This is human nature.
It's true.
If I didn't have Genghis Khan, I'd be bitching about somebody else.
So you think back then it was like, oh, you know, I got freaking raped on the way to the office today. You know, I was just trying to take my horse and come here and milk the cows, and these freaking guys came in and started raping me.
Only got beat up once, you know, that's
possible.
You never know.
It's all relative, right?
You never know.
That's the moral of the story.
So
that it's all relative.
Back to Estes Park. That's
How
not what
did we get onto this topic?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my whole
let's get this ghost. I want to see. So which of your sisters, the younger or the older one?
The younger one, Dana.
Really?
Yeah, she was on a business trip in Augusta, and they stayed at this place called the Partridge Inn.
The Partridge Inn, a pear tree inn.
Yes. And
Partridge Family Inn? Was it like Danny Bonaducci was haunting the place?
See, this is how we got off on a tangent, because you interrupted me.
Was he at the front desk?
Come on, get
Did they have that bus? The multicolored bus? Okay, anyway.
This is exactly how we got off.
You got to get us back on track.
All right, reel it in.
So, I guess... I don't know, like 100 years ago, there was a wedding there, and this woman's husband got murdered on their wedding night. Don't know the details, but I guess she killed herself because of that. She was so distraught, and she haunts the hotel. So guests
they were getting married at the hotel, and he died at the hotel too.
Yeah, he was. I think that's where he was killed.
Damn.
I'm not really sure.
Or on the way to the hotel.
That's
or
a
something.
Southern wedding.
I don't know. I don't know the details. I know. And so
how do we know that she wasn't just awful and he just like ducked out and
we
like
don't.
Went somewhere else?
We don't.
So she's bitter. She's haunting the halls. Is she looking for?
I don't know if she's bitter. I think she's just mournful because apparently guests have reported that they've seen a woman in a wedding dress. Like
she's
walking
like sobbing,
down.
Right? Isn't she?
I don't know. I don't know if she's sobbing, but
she's like sobbing.
She's looking
like
for another sugar
daddy.
Yeah,
I guess. Well, she
sugar
well,
daddy.
This is Dana's
she got
story. This is her story. So, she was in bed. She was sleeping, and she woke up because the light turned on in her bathroom, and all of a sudden she hears trickling, and she started freaking out. What's going on? She couldn't go back to sleep, and slept with the lights on. Next morning, she's at breakfast talking about it, and one of her coworkers said, oh, he heard a knock on his door, went to answer it right away, but I guess nobody was behind the door, nobody was in the hall. So a guest nearby actually turned his head, and he said, hey, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt, I don't mean to eavesdrop, but he's like, that's Emily. That's the ghost that haunts his hotel. And so they said,
you know, that dude's running around knocking on the door.
Yeah, right?
He's like ringing around all night.
He's dumb to believe this. Can you believe it?
Yeah. So he said, it's funny because one of my coworkers, I guess it was a business convention, one of my coworkers was walking down the hall to his room. And I guess like 50 feet up, there was a woman in a dress, a wedding dress, like walking down the hall. Turned into his room And he's like, wait a minute, excuse me, that's my room. And he ran to catch up with her. And then she was gone by the time he got to his room.
Or so he says.
Yeah, or so he says. Wow. Exactly. So
there's a hooker in an old wedding dress that just kind of cruises around and pops into rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky. It's tough to say, like, oh, I don't believe in this or I do. It's just, I've never personally had an experience with anything supernatural, any ghosts, anything like that.
The ghost. They busted her for trespassing. She's serving 2 years in lockup.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird one.
I don't know.
It's crazy.
It's weird.
You always kind
of reminds
like,
me of that American Horror Story. I actually really
we started. We got
I
into
like
it.
This season.
Yeah, the new
with Lady Gaga.
Dude, I'm telling you, really Lady Gaga. It. I've been sleeping on her. She's got a hell of a little body on her.
And she's got Brian Gaga. Hot,
yeah.
And I mean, she has that weird face. You know, it's like it's not ugly. It's not beautiful. It's just intriguing. It's like unique.
I think it's striking.
That's the perfect word, striking. And depending on how she's made up, like with her makeup, she can look completely different.
Yeah.
You know, like, because there's the one scene they show her in the 70s, mm-hmm. and they show her in the 80s, and they show her in the 90s, and every look is, like, based on the trends of the time.
Yeah.
And she looks completely different every time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah, and it is super sexual and super gory. I don't know how it's on TV. I really don't.
It's like on cable.
On regular
it's amazing.
Cable.
It's on cable. Well, FX, they're kind of known for like pushing the limits.
They are really pushing
that,
it. Yeah.
They did Walking Dead, right? After that, they do whatever the hell they want.
I mean, it's all like
kind of what happens.
Orgies and weird murders and all kinds of crap.
Oh, it's like being in a nightmare that, you know, you don't want to watch it. You don't want to be in it, but then you can't turn away.
Nice.
You know, seeing it in front of you, it's just, oh my gosh. And the characters are beautiful.
It's like but it's like a shitty nightmare, but you've actually figured out that you can control this. So you can kind of laugh at it. You know, that's how I feel about
that's
it.
That's how you feel about it?
I just feel like it's kind of silly in a way. So it isn't super
scary. Horror films in general are silly.
Yeah, but
this is kind of like,
depends what neighborhood you watch the film in, because I've gone to some neighborhoods that were fun as hell.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Dana's story is not as crazy and gory as this is, but...
No.
Well, supposedly Tap House Grill is haunted. It used to be a roadhouse, been there for a long, long time, and everybody that works there says they hear weird shit downstairs. Like, supposedly the basement is, like, really, like, dark and crappy, and it's, you know, they store stuff down there, and every once in a while, they'll have to tell people, go down and get something, and they're like, I don't want to go down. It's fucking creepy. People get the chills down there. They hear stuff, and nobody's really seen ghosts, but it's like, they just get a creepy, chill vibe about it. A lot of people died there.
The first season of American Horror Story with that house, that family, that kid, that creepy thing in the basement.
Yeah, the house that nobody wanted to buy, and they got a good price, because people have been killed there, or they come to find out, and it's like...
Wow.
Is anything creepier, you know, than the basement of an old house?
Dark basement, yeah.
Most basements are a little bit creepy because they're underground. There's not a lot of sound. It's kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless you're in a bunker. Like, NORAD, I don't think is creepy.
Weird old energy. Yeah. The ghost of Kennedy's down there.
That's right.
Maybe. All right, we've gone on some crazy rants so far. Crazy... off the rails a bit, but that's why you guys love us, because we you know, we have a structure, but we also kind of know when to go off and kind of run with things,
and we always come back to ski news.
Oh, we always ski and board news. Ski news. So ski news this week. Today's Wednesday. This is not gonna get uploaded until Thursday, so when it's uploaded, that will mean that Colorado will be open for skiing. That's right. Loveland Ski Area and Apparaho Basin are opening tomorrow, October 29th.
Nice.
Finally.
Now, you said it's late this year?
Yeah, it's the latest start for Colorado in the last 20 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is this a little El Niño-ish?
Possibly. They say it's just been warm. They haven't been getting... Yeah, it hasn't been cold enough for them to blow snow, and they haven't gotten help from Mother Nature, so it's taken a little bit longer. But they've been getting hit the last couple of days, so they've got a decent 18-inch base. They're going to get started, and they can... Tomorrow is the day. So October 29th.
See, we should have had like slow, creepy music. You know how they play on some of those shows? Mm-hmm. And it could be like, and we think it's from El Nino coming.
El Nino.
And the little soothsayer said, El Nino.
El Nino.
El Nino.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
it's kind of messed up.
So Colorado is finally open for business, which is great. And we tweeted it out last week, but we talked about Killington opening, being the first resort to open on the 18th of October. It unfortunately had to close this past Sunday, the 25th, because it was too warm and there wasn't enough cold to make snow. So they're closed again, and they've got dumped with rain today. There was the remnants of that hurricane that hit Mexico this past weekend. It's been going kind of northeast, and it's hitting the tri-state New England area right now. And it's just dumped a ton of rain. And
they got killed.
It's going to be a mess up there because of that. And I don't know how long it's going to take them to recover. It's probably going to take at least 2 weeks. I don't foresee Killington reopening till at least the second week in November. That's my guess.
Yeah.
So, you know what? That's, the weather gods kind of throw some crazy things at us. So we're going to have to just, see what happens and, hold our breath and get ready and prepare. So when the time does come and we get the big dump and we can get up there, we'll be ready to go. Speaking of which, 5 tips to get ready for ski season. So this was an article put out by Ski Utah. They met with some doctors, the University of Utah healthcare doctors, about, get some tips for how to prepare for ski season. And we won't go into every single one of them, but it talks about, training regimens for you're going to do 20 plus ski days and how do you keep your knees stable, ways to avoid being sore after. So a bunch of good little tips. You still have time to get ready. Well,
this was good because it's not like some of these articles like give you do these exercises and they show you like a bunch of exercises, but they're kind of not in a training regimen that you would follow. It's an example of a training regimen that you could do. So this is more of an interview of like what's good and what's bad and how you should train, which was kind of, I thought was more helpful than sometimes, you want to see the exercises, but like you still got to build your own custom thing because everybody's starting from somewhere different and wants to do different things. So. Yeah. I thought it was kind of cool to look at.
And, it talks about the stuff that we always talk about, squats and lunges and planks and, the typical exercises, but also gives some good tips on, things you should do before the day of before you ski, stretching before, stretching after, ways to improve your whole ski experience, which is pretty good. So this is a cool article posted up in the show notes. You can take a look and get yourself ready to go.
Oh, I got some ski news that I forgot to put on the agenda, but we talked about, and this is kind of a follow-up also, so we talked about Lindsey Vonn heading to Europe. So if anybody doesn't know already, she decided not to compete, and she's looking forward to, I believe, the next event at Vail, which she's training for.
Oh, nice. A little homecoming?
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see. I'm excited because she tweeted out some stuff about her picture of her skiing and stuff this week, so...
Good for her.
Yeah, she's back.
Yeah, and Anna Fenniger, she's gonna have to make that long road that similar to what Lindsay's done. But
she just got out of the hospital a couple days ago. She posted a picture on Facebook and Twitter with her her full cast on. Yeah, it's a long road back, but
that was a big injury.
She's a warrior. She's a badass skier. So we'll probably see her next year again, back in the mix.
And Lindsay's still going.
Yeah,
like it.
Yeah, it's crazy because she. So Anna
I thought
Fenniger's
it was a smart thing that she did.
Anna's hurt, and then Tina Maze just took the year off. She's like, I need a year off, need a break.
Not bad
and
to
then
do.
And Lindsay's kind of, on the edge here. We're not sure how she's going to perform.
She wanted to compete because she said this year she's focusing on the World Cup, but I think it was a smart thing for her to do, even if she probably did want to ski, but
it was a smart move,
It's a smart move,
But it's been a tough year for the top women's skiers so far. But, we're just
very
getting started.
Very competitive, too, right?
But you know what? It also opens the door for the next generation to kind of make their mark and move up.
Get in while you can.
Yeah, Michaela Schifrin, she's hot. She's going to be getting in there. She's going to be moving up. And a lot of other young skiers that are going to become more popular because they now have the opportunity. So we're looking forward to that. So that's, the ski news kind of sucked this week. The weather's been kind of lousy. It's been kind of warm. It's been it's that in between. It's like that purgatory phase.
But we're out of the heat and the hot. It's just today, we've had, this week we're getting that weather from the hurricane. So it's kind of dreary, driven rain. It almost, I sit near a window at work and it almost sounded like it was sleeting today. And I was like, you know, while it sucks the weather out, it kind of reminds me of, it could be a snowstorm right now.
Yeah.
Like it's cold, but not cold enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was warm and crappy today. Today, so I just started listening to an audiobook, the biography of Alice in Chains.
Oh, nice.
And I've been getting so into it. I listened to like 4 hours both between yesterday and today. And then at work, while I was cranking away, I was listening to their Alice in Chains music. So between listening to their music, listening to this biography, having it pouring rain, I was like in this like kind of like dark funk, you know, depression. And I kind of get the whole heroin thing.
Whoa. You're not stopping to buy heroin.
Nah, I don't ever see myself wanting to do that. But yeah, you kind of get into one of those little funks where you're like, I need something to take me up, to get me to that next level. Some of those guys needed heroin. I have ski news.
Skiing, yeah.
Getting excited for the ski season. Skiing is my heroin.
I like it.
It's our heroin.
It's all fresh powder.
That's a great idea for a t-shirt. Have like a needle, but like inside the needle, you have kind of like mountains, like a mountain range.
Oh.
Yeah. So and then the t-shirt has like, it looks like a needle, and then inside the needle, in the syringe is the mountain range, and the needle, it looks like it's poking in you. So you don't see the tip of it. You see like a little indentation of where it's going in.
Mm.
Skiing is my heroin.
Skiing is my heroin.
Hashtag.
Mm.
You're not buying it, are you?
Hashtag. Ashley Schaefer BMW.
Ashley Schaefer BMW.
You need to show me a mock-up.
I need to mock that up. So just putting it out there. It's a thought. It's an idea.
Putting it out there, so.
Yeah. So now we're on to our topic.
Are you scared?
Are you scared? I'm always scared.
Are you scared? We're all scared of something.
Life's a dangerous place. You should be scared. If you're not scared, you're not paying attention.
So let's talk about stuff that scares the crap out of us on and off the mountain. Could be anywhere. So whatever you want to talk about. So like, Brian, what do you got?
Children.
Children?
Like just on the mountain, you got kids who are just like...
White Walker children? What
like
are we doing?
White Walker children, like the crazy blue eyes and the white.
How about JJ Walker children? That scares me a little too.
Dynamite. You never know. They're like just flying down the mountain, and like you never know if you turn the wrong way, you're going to take one out, and then the parents are going to sue you, and you're going to get in trouble.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of kids.
No?
I could take them. Most kids.
I don't know.
Except for Baby Jesus from the...
Talladega Nights?
No, Baby Jesus from... The Real Husbands of Hollywood.
Oh.
With Kevin Hart. I love that.
Yeah.
Baby Jesus. Tiny Jesus. That's what it was.
Tiny Jesus. The mountains, you know, what was that movie we talked about before where the guys get stuck in the chairlift?
Oh, I think it's not White. Is it Whiteout or something?
Something similar to that.
With the wolves and, yeah, it's...
That's scary. You never know if you're at some little...
It does scare you when you get stuck on the lift and you start, especially like end of the night or something like that. I've been stuck almost at the end of the night and in a dark area. Luckily, I was with a few people and I'm like, all right, it stopped. They didn't shut this shit off. Like, you're trying to make that last lift.
Yeah.
And I'm like, these motherfuckers, these MFers, like, left me up here. I'm going to be pissed off. And it, you know, you're too far to jump, you're just like, all right, so, and then you sit there for a while and then it started back up, and it was, yeah, that's always a fear, like getting stuck on a lift and at the end of the night.
Yeah, I think one of the scariest things too is, you know, when we were out in Austria this past year, Ange, when you lost your ski.
Oh gosh. Yeah,
in all that powder, just like, and
just
it was just buried,
like, just looking, digging for an hour. We had like a search team that volunteered to help us. It was pretty nuts.
That's pretty terrifying, the thought. And where we were on the mountain, we were nowhere near the main gondola. We were nowhere near anywhere getting towards back town where you rented your skis from. It would have taken us hours.
I actually think we were in Switzerland at that time.
I think we were
in Switzerland. The lodge was Switzerland.
Yeah.
We were in a different country.
We were in a different country. It was just crazy. And everybody's sweating, like digging out. It was, and then the funniest part is they found the ski like right up the top of the mountain. Like, how did they get there?
Hello. Oh, that
was
amazing.
I had just started sliding down.
We just gave up.
Yeah, we just did.
We had just given up.
Mario had my other ski. Yep.
Yeah, and then it ended up being that afternoon being like the best day of skiing, like one of the best days ever.
Yeah. After that nice workout, you know.
Yeah. Just dripping sweat.
Dripping sweat.
So that's terrifying.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, the idea of losing a ski or a piece of equipment when you're in the middle of nowhere or so far from a place where you could replace it or get help to replace it. That's a terrifying thought.
When we were in Telluride, you weren't there. It was the first time I was with the club. They had Prospect Bowl was closed, but you could look over the edge there, and there were some bare spots and stuff like that, and they were just getting everything ready. And looking over the edge, and it's always like it runs in the back of my head, like, what if I were to just kind of glide out by accident and fall into that? Like, it kind of would suck. And I pulled up for Brian this YouTube video, this freaking guy. Oh. They climbed all the way up this top steep peak of this mountain, like this massive mountain. I mean, they had to be serious climbers because it was like on a cliff. And the dude straps in, and you don't realize how nerve-wracking it must be. You climb all the way up. You got to put your skis on after climbing up.
Yeah.
And this dude, he has everything on, puts his skis in, and then he just slides back, and he goes over that freaking edge, and he has the GoPro on his helmet, and you just see it like, whoa, whoop, boom, and then for a little while, like in the middle of this falling, you see him like skiing over some rocks and falling, and then he lands, and you just hear, he must have fell like I don't know how many hundreds of feet.
Yeah.
It was hundreds of feet. He just, I don't know. It was crazy, man.
Yeah,
that scares the shit out of me.
That one, that's pretty nasty.
Looking over edges, or you see an edge where you're like, I just don't want to fall. You know,
the key is you can't look too long. You just got to go. You just have to go.
Well, this was out of bounds.
Well, that one,
that's out of bounds. Yeah,
that was true.
Because even I've seen on trails where, like, you know, it dips down off the trail, mm-hmm. and you're just like, all right, that's not like skiable. It's like rock and stuff. And yeah.
Rocks are never fun to say. They're always a bit scary. If you're not expecting a giant mogul field.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like that one time.
Stowe.
Up at Stowe. Yeah, we're like, oh, we're just cruising. We just got brand new boots, breaking them in. Do this great little black diamond run, turn the corner, be like, oh, should we keep going onto the blue or stay on the black? Oh, we'll stay on the black. All of a sudden, just Volkswagen sized moguls.
Oh, welcome to the black run.
That's what you got to do.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's how you get better.
And you know what else was a scary time when we were all in Zermatt? That one time we went down that, it was like almost like an ice face. That one run.
Yes.
It was just a sheer,
yep.
A sheer like ice drop.
Oh, you couldn't even hold an edge on it.
I couldn't. I fell and I couldn't even stop from sliding.
The best part is me, a few other people are sitting at the top. I think Andrea went down first, and she hit and started just sliding down. She couldn't even stop.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'll go down. And you start going down, and you slide. And you start sliding, and we're like, he's going to slide into her. So it was pretty funny.
It
we're
was
like,
the scariest
I don't know what
thing,
to do.
Because you're just sliding, and you're like, I have no idea if I'm ever going to stop.
It was really steep.
My first thought was, you know what's going to happen is my ski is going to hook and it's just going to hyperextend and snap my knee. That's what's going to happen.
And we ski in the East. We love ice. We know ice. But this was really like a hard sheet of ice.
Just like a sheet of ice.
But it was
funny.
We're like, oh my God, he's going to like hit her going at a pretty good speed sliding.
I'm
going
to get yelled at.
I was like, oh my God. I think one of you guys went off like on the side and stopped.
I was going towards the side, trying to like hook myself into the snow on the side so I could slow down.
And then we're sitting there, and I think it was like one of the last runs of the night. We're like, we have no choice but to go down this. I'm like, I really don't want to go down it, but I kind of have to.
And there
to.
Was no one else around.
Yeah.
There was nobody else around.
Because all the Europeans are like, we don't ski on that.
Who
it's shice.
Thinking?
Après starts at 10.
What were we thinking?
I don't know if we had a little après before that. Let's put it that way.
Imagine if you were by yourself, though. That's like one of my scariest things. I don't think I would ever want to
be caught alone on a mountain
in like a foreign country by myself.
Oh, like you're
even during the day, actually.
The guy you knew, you're the guy who did the backcountry trip out to like Austria and lost a ski.
Oh, that's a great story too. Oof.
Yeah, he was. Well, he's an amazing skier, an avid skier, and he was in Austria. I forget what part, but
I think he told you this story just before we went, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would you say that?
I told him I was going, and he's like, oh, you know, so
I got a story for you.
So he's like, he was by himself. He was doing some bowls, I guess, you know, untouched.
When you say by yourself, he's out like hiking for like cross-country to get to where he's skiing, right? Like he's just all back country.
It was, yeah, I think it was, and and he I guess he fell towards the bottom You know, and he was looking for like an hour.
He lost his ski, yeah.
He lost his ski.
No humans around for probably like a few hours walk.
Yeah, that's, see, I would never. Doesn't matter. I think it doesn't matter how good.
But there's moose and bear around, which is good.
And kangaroos.
Kangaroos, yes.
Apparently.
Austria has a kangaroo. Been spotted. A
couple weeks ago, we talked about it. There's a kangaroo that's been spotted in Austria.
It could be Paul the kangaroo, and there is another one. Two different kangaroos that were possibly.
Yeah.
They have the one in the picture in the snow, and he's just hanging out, looking at everybody, and then he hopped away.
Yeah.
Got to keep track of him. But anyway, so your friend, he lost his ski. He was looking for it for how long?
Like an hour by himself.
In the middle of freaking nowhere, backcountry. I would freak out.
Yeah.
That would kind of scare me.
Yeah.
Well, that was like one of our buddies went heli skiing in Alaska, and he said the one thing that you don't realize bothers you is after they drop you off and they leave... then it hits you like there's no other human being around for like miles. You know, you're waiting. If something, God forbid, were to happen, there's no ski patrol. There's nothing around. Like, hopefully, if you lay there long enough and survive, they'll come back for you and be like, okay, we dropped somebody up here and
where
we haven't
seen them. Where is
that numbness? Yeah. So, but he was with some other skiers, you know, that also got dropped off for the heli. And he was like, it just hits you. Like, you just don't really think about that. Like, in our modern world, how often is it, unless you do a lot of hiking, that you're not around anybody for miles.
Yeah, so usually we're like, oh, it'd be so nice not to have anybody around.
Yeah.
Especially where we are. And yeah, but when you are alone, it is terrifying. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's, things start hitting you like, wow, I should have packed this. I should have done, you know, I got to be like.
I should have bought that flare gun.
Exactly. Just in case.
Yeah, it's, I realize just how, you know, we always want to think we're so independent and so strong, but we're just a bunch of weak, needy bitches.
Yeah.
All of us.
And we go to the other level. Like, some people stress out. Like, there's like a condition now, they say, where like the younger generation especially is so connected to their phones that if they don't have their phone, they freak out because they feel like they're disconnected from everything.
Yeah.
But like, that's taking it to another level. You know what I mean? Of connection. Mm-hmm. Me, I'm like, I could walk to somebody's, you know, I could walk to a phone or a place. Like, you're not in the wilderness, you know?
The problem is not knowing people's numbers.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Nobody knows your number anymore.
Who knows anybody's phone number anymore?
I have it in my phone.
Yeah.
I remember reading there was somebody that got arrested for like drunk and disorderly in New York. And the funniest thing is he sat in jail for like almost a week because they gave him his call and he didn't know anybody's number and their numbers were unlisted.
That's really
so
funny.
I think his fiance called like the police station and the hospital looking for him.
After a week.
And like, well, he's been arrested. And she's like, why didn't he call me? He's like, I don't know anybody's number. Oh, and everybody's unlisted. I'm like, that's freaking poetic justice right there.
That's so
bad.
That's
funny.
Oh, God.
I never thought about that until I read it. I was like, yeah, I don't know my own number.
Yeah.
I know my parents, I know yours, Brian's, and my sister's. That's it.
So we have the number knowledge of what used to be like a five-year-old.
I don't know my parents' cell phone numbers. I know my parents' home number. I know your cell phone number, and that's pretty much it. That's it.
Wow.
So, word of advice, you might want to commit to memory a few numbers just in case.
Tattoos.
Tattoo, yeah. Well, what happens if your phone goes dead? So, we've been on that's another fear. Like, you're trying to get a hold of somebody, you're calling somebody back, mm-hmm. Your phone dies. You're on a lift, you don't have access to anything.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're separated from your group. You're like, well, I don't think we're getting to get in touch.
Yeah.
That's a little fear. I've never been so scared in my life except for Stowe. We talked about it on one of the past podcasts. The freaking gondola that went sideways with the wind, that was scary as shit.
Oh, that was really scary.
That was brutal. Oh, I always get a little freaked out, too, if we're like really high up. Now, when we were in Austria last time, we were coming back from Switzerland, and we took that lift over, like a huge, long lift. But we were really high up, and the rocks below us, like they were windblown rocks, and it was very windy there, and they were like jagged rocks. I was like, I don't want to. This is kind of freaking me out a little.
Yeah, that'd be a rough one to fall.
So that bothers me a little, the heights and sometimes, you know.
Because
then you realize, you know, there's only like little, if you think about them as strings, there's strings holding that thing up, and you're going zipping
along.
It's
pretty much like thick floss.
Yeah.
At best, holding those chair lifts up.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But you go on them, they're pretty stable.
We hope. We hope they're stable.
There was one chairlift accident last year, I think, one of the mountains.
Was it?
It was on the
Maine,
East Coast,
wasn't it? Was it Sugarloaf, maybe?
I think it might have been Sugarloaf. That,
and
I
had
thought
that crazy,
about that all.
The chairlift that kind of like spun around too, right? That had the speed cranked up or something.
And then 2 weeks after I was Telluride the first time, the kid fell off the lift. And I remember that lift. That was the one with the double blues. We were doing the trees and everything. That was a fun area.
Yeah, yeah.
The kid fell off that lift. And we went there last year and they had that little guard in between. Mm. They didn't have that the year before. That's why the kid slid right out.
Oh,
he was screwing
really?
Around, turning around, trying to talk to his buddies. And, you know, he turned around and basically put him at, like, a nice straight angle and just right off of that. They actually had it on YouTube.
Oof.
For right off the
he
thing.
He died?
No, 50 feet. I think he broke, like, one or two legs. I don't know, broke something.
And I'm sure he learned a valuable lesson.
I'm sure he did.
I hope he did.
Not to screw around. Unfortunately, that's what it takes to learn a lesson sometimes.
Yeah, it sucks. So there's a lot of things to be scared about. Anything else, you guys, that you can think of?
Mm-mm.
Moose.
Moose.
I also see YouTube of moose on a. There was the one moose. Remember that was
that
chasing?
That was Sugarloaf too, up in Maine.
Sugarloaf in Mount Snow when we were up there. Remember, there's the moose that was trapped in the tree well.
Oh yeah.
And just they were like, just leave him alone, don't go near him. And I'm like, freaking moose all over this place. That's kind of scary.
Next day, like moose chili is like the special at the lodge.
Yeah, right.
Fresh moose. Moose steaks.
Don't worry about the moose anymore.
Get your moose steaks.
Well, there was either it was either a mountain lion or a lynx. I don't remember what it was, but there was something in Telluride that they saw on the backside of the mountain. It was like a mountain lion was spotted, and I was like, can you imagine skiing? And all of a sudden, out of the woods, bolting comes a fucking mountain lion chasing you as fast as you can. You just have to gun it down, try to outrun him. That'd be terrifying.
I think you got to stop and fight it.
That would be goddamn
just
terrifying.
Friggin' jam a ski up his ass.
Ski
like
free.
What you got now, son?
Ski
Remember?
Free. That game was so much fun on old Microsoft Windows 3.1. Yeah. And the Yeti would come and get you.
The Yeti,
the
that's right.
The snowman guy would come and get you.
Oh, that'd be good for a mountain to have like a dude dressed up as a Yeti and just come out
oh
and chase
my
people.
God, that would be the best. Why don't mountains have that?
Just have like different stuff jump out.
It's like running after you.
Different stuff jump out and just start chasing
like,
you.
Oh my God, he's snowboarding. How is he snowboarding? Oh
my God, there's a Yeti. He's really fast and he's on a snowboard. He's going to kick my ass.
Oh my God, that would be so
that would
awesome
be funny
if mountains did that.
Yeah, I know kids would love that. Like little kids, they'd be like, oh my God, that's awesome.
And they would shit their pants and they got to buy new pants at the lodge.
Oh.
So the lodge is making money that way.
Pants for sale. They
yeah.
The shit your pants... marketing campaign.
Special brown Yeti pants.
So brown Yeti.
When you're wearing the brown Yeti pants, they know what's up.
Eddie the Yeti.
Oh my God, that would be so great. Get like a real like Hollywood grade Yeti costume.
Oh, just start come out and just chasing you.
Start chasing people. Like start running at them like.
Or let's say you're tree skiing. All of a sudden, like you're seeing like as you're tree skiing, it's a fucking Yeti in front of you.
Oh my God!
It's goddamn Bigfoot, and it's terrifying.
That would be so.
You'd be like, I gotta get out of these goddamn woods.
Awesome.
Goddamn Bigfoot's out there.
We have to do that. Like film that.
That'd be awesome.
Have a couple GoPros. Like have like a buddy with a GoPro behind. Like behind the people that are coming.
So we got to go up with a costume and hang out in the woods and just freaking put the Yeti costume on and just jump out.
Have like a Yeti, like one of the GoPros like in your Yeti head and then one in like the Yeti chest.
In the stash.
Yeti nips.
Stash, you just jump out.
The Yeti nipples are actually GoPro lenses. So you're filming at nipple level.
Nipple cam.
Nipple cam.
Nip cams.
How come nobody has done that so far?
Because people don't have aren't visionaries apparently.
That's right.
That would be so awesome. Did you see that thing in the trees?
I don't know, man. I
don't know. I've heard. I've heard it's out there.
You're like, I went right by it. I don't know. That'd be cool. See a Yeti out there just smoking.
Just like a bong.
Taking a break.
Is that Yeti smoking weed over there?
I don't know.
There's a weed smoking Yeti at Killington.
It's too terrifying to go near, to check.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to mess with him.
I want to see if he maybe get a hit, but I'm afraid. I'm just afraid of the Yeti.
Yo, Yeti, pass that shit around. Or it could be Chewbacca, too.
Super chill Yeti.
Oh, how about Chewbacca running through there, trying to chase people down?
Or Chewbacca making love to the Yeti.
All right, now we're going right. to... Now we're
Now
gonna,
it's getting weird. Whoa, oh, now it's getting weird.
Now it's getting weird. That's like, what are they, the Furbies that have the fetish with the people dressed up?
Oh, like...
They call them Furbies or whatever?
Furries.
Furries or whatever.
Furries, yeah.
They want to get it on with the people dressed in the costumes?
Yeah. They both have costumes usually.
Oh, you know what? As a Yeti, I could probably get a lot of tail like that. Girls would be like, yo, Yeti.
Tail
you wanna,
indeed.
You want to get it on?
There's some moose tail.
Moose tail.
What kind of woman like wants to get it from a Yeti?
It'd be like Trading Places with the gorilla.
Yeah. One gorilla, two gorilla. What does it matter?
What does it matter?
Yeah. Al Franken. Senator Al Franken.
That's right. He's the senator.
Yeah. He was one of the guys in...
It's New Year's Eve.
Watching the Apes.
Let him have some fun.
Yeah.
Wow. So far have we fallen.
Yeah, it's really spiraling off the rails this episode. But you know what? That's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Do you really want to just read stuff every week? Nobody wants to hear that. You want to hear what the bums have to say about important topics like Yetis making love and smoking weed. Yes. In the woods in Vermont.
Making sweet, sweet love.
Sweet, sweet Yeti love. Then you could have like a Yeti family skiing down the mountain. Like the mother and the father Yetis and like the baby Yetis behind them.
I think you have ninja Yetis come out to start kicking some ass.
Ninja Yetis.
Ninja Yetis.
Yeah.
So what do you think? What else scares you besides Yetis? besides Yetis on the mountain.
I'd say that's it for me.
That's it, huh?
Really shitty beginner skiers that don't know what they're doing scare me like crazy. I go by them very cautiously.
What also?
I'm terrified going by them.
Yeah.
They got their arms out, and I don't know which way they're going to turn.
I know how it is. I've been there, but it scares the shit out of me still.
You got to know your place. Yeah. You got to know where you got to go. Like, stay in a certain area. Stay to the side.
Yeah.
Stay out of the way. Yeah. So, yeah, again, skiing is a dangerous sport. There's lots of dangerous, scary things that are happening around you. But you know what? You can persevere. You can carry through. You can be the best you can be. You can conquer your fears. You can be the master of your own destiny. Always remember that. Stay positive, be confident, and you will achieve all of your ski dreams. That's the bum's promise.
Right. And if you have any other stories, any other scary stories, you can let us know.
Yes, hit us up, skibumpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, you know what time that is. Meow.
That's right. It is time for Around the Horn. And we've got several wonderful stories for you this week. First up, so Rolling Stone had an article this week, an article and a video. Joe Rogan, a day or so in the life of UFC's funniest guy. So one of our inspirations for this podcast was the Joe Rogan Experience, which if you haven't heard it or seen it on YouTube, go out there, check it out. Joe does an awesome job. He does these, you know, usually 3-hour podcasts talking to people from stand-up comedians to scientists to authors.
He's very busy.
He's a really busy dude. And in this video, he kind of shows, you know, they show the podcast studio. They show, you know, him doing his workouts, him doing his comedy, him doing the UFC. I mean, he's a super inspirational guy, does a lot of great stuff. And yeah, he was one of the motivators that got us to even tackling this project. So I have to give a shout out to Mr. Rogan, and it's worth checking out. So
we understand some of the busyness now that we have our primary job. This is our second job. Oh. And then we have our hobbies, our skiing,
families, and all families, that stuff. Friends, yeah.
And all the other stuff that comes up with.
It's amazing too. Like, he kind of talks about it on the podcast. He's like, I don't have time for so much stuff, you know? Yeah. And you really, when you do have something like, you know, when you have multiple jobs, you realize you just don't have time for bullshit, you know?
Well, he has about 3 jobs full time. Yeah. The UFC, the stand up, and the podcast.
Yeah.
At least. Mm-hmm. Not to mention all the other stuff.
Right.
That's a lot of stuff.
I mean, a lot of stuff. And you realize, like, when you, like, that's why, like, if I'm somewhere and I'm, you know, say you're at a friend's house or a family house and the fucking Kardashian show is on, and like I just get livid. I'm like, I don't have time for this bullshit. Like, I don't have time to waste with nonsense. I have things I have to get done.
You know what else you spend it on?
That's what he talks about.
We make sausage. Boom.
This is very, very true. We did
made beef jerky. Boom.
We did make sausage this weekend. My dad, with his butcher history, we got a little get together and we made bratwurst and chorizo. How good was that?
It was excellent.
It was out of this world.
I was going to make some tonight, but
go fuck yourself. Yeah. Nothing. It's garbage in comparison.
I was going to make some of it tonight, but it was raining out. I was like, got home late. I was like, yeah, I'm not making any.
We actually have some pretty cool photos of it too, so maybe we'll post some of those.
We should pop them out there, because that was a lot of fun.
It was cool. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what a process it is, and when you use really good ingredients, you can come up with some dynamite product.
But we made real German butcher style stuff. We saw the inside of the insides. Let's put it that way.
We did, yeah.
It was excellent.
And it's not nearly as scary as when you look at something like, say, I don't know, commercial hot dogs, for example.
Yeah. Mm. So you talk about, we made real hot dogs, which were, you know, the meat goes in.
We made bratwursts.
Right. We made bratwursts.
Yeah.
So we made the sausages. I tell you, we cut the meat.
The whole process.
We trimmed the meat before. We put it all in. And we made like, what, 50, 60 pounds?
50 pounds.
50 pounds of sausage. And we also made cubed pork cutlets. I had the cubed pork cutlet with the champagne-ish, what the hell was it? Champignon-ish it was a champignon mushroom sauce that I brought back from Austria last year.
Ooh.
And I made it in that sauce. It was like a hunter sauce. It was fucking phenomenal.
So it was like a Jaeger schnitzel then, right?
It was like a Jaeger schnitzel.
Ooh,
so I fried it up, and then the recipe, like, I had to, of course, translate because it's Knorr, which, you know, they service, like, all over the globe.
Yeah.
So I had to get the translation of the package in English. But I couldn't.
Oh, it was in German?
It was all in German, and I couldn't get the exact translation. So I'm looking at it. I'm like, all right, let me pick out a few words. And I picked out like one. All I needed was one measurement, and I worked it. They gave it in. It was like 0.3 liters. I'm like, what the fuck? You couldn't tell me how many milliliters. Like I could do that. You know what I mean? Like my measuring cup has that.
Well, if it's 0.3 liters, isn't that like 300 milliliters? Yeah.
Right.
That's
but
the
I'm just
beauty
like,
of the metric system. It's very easy to just break things down.
Right. But you look at it initially. Like you had to be dicks like that. You couldn't just say 300 milliliters.
So, yeah. How many cups?
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So at least I have the metric on there. So I measured that out. And then I looked at, I picked out a few words. And I was like, I think I just put this in there, put that in there. And then boom. And it worked out. So.
Yeah. Nice.
But it was good. I had the, so I had the cubed pork loin like that. And then I hadn't made the sausage yet, but it was a fun time.
It was good, yeah.
Fun, the real way to do it. And then the next day, because I'm in the meat festivist kind of way, I made my own beef jerky.
Oh, yes, and we had some that before, too. That was really good.
Was not hard to do. I saw it in an article in, I think it was Backpacker Magazine, how to make your own beef jerky. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll try to make my own beef jerky.
Jerk it up.
It was actually pretty good. I got to get the marinade down. That's
yeah.
What you do. But anyway, so going from good sausage to bad sausage, or hot dogs. Mm. Some hot dogs contain human DNA. There was a study done where we found an article. Somebody did a study, and they found about 10% of vegetarian hot dog products contain meat. They also said there were issues in 4 of their 21 vegetarian samples. So they said 14%... they considered problematic, and they go on to say how there was like human DNA found in. So they actually said 2% of the hot dog samples they use were found to have human DNA in it. Now I don't know what the DNA is. That's we were having a whole discussion on it. We had a round table on this before.
Because yeah, your DNA is really in everything: your skin, your saliva, your other bodily fluids, hair. And I wonder how much would actually trigger a sample detecting that there was DNA.
What's the most disgusting hair you ever found in your food?
Everybody,
you know, it's one of those things. It's happened to everybody.
Well, see, for me, it wasn't a hair. It was, so I was in high school. And when you're in high school, you know, you're kind of disgusting more so than usual. So I was working, and I had ordered a pizza for lunch. And this pizza was, like, all that I could think about. I was starving. Got the pizza delivered. Ate my first slice. As I'm eating the crust at the end, I found a fingernail, like
ew.
A big honking, like a thumb, like a giant, massive pizza making hand.
Somebody's
thumbnail.
Saying, I wonder what happened to my fingernail.
It was a clean break too, which is the weird
Brian
one. Was
he
clipping
it.
The nails like over the pizza crust?
So
I know, but it was a big honking thumbnail. But you know what? Me, the soldier that I am, just friggin' took it,
take it out,
and kept eating that
it's
pizza.
It's all cooked on.
I was
I found a hair in my thing, in my food one time. I just took it out, kept eating. I was like, what am I going to do? I already had it
the
in my mouth.
The damage is already done.
Yeah.
What are you going to get?
As long as they cooked it. No. What are you, I'm hungry, and I'm not going to waste food.
Yeah.
So laser. I was with a buddy. It was like 2 in the morning, and we probably deserved to get hair in our food. Because it's like 2 in the morning. Went to a Perkins, and he got like
Going to Perkins is bad enough.
Exactly. So he bites into his omelet that he got, and he got, it was a hair clump. It was so nasty. It's like, everybody looked around the table like, I didn't find shit in
it
mine.
It wasn't a rat?
It was so disgusting.
Like a baby
it
bird?
It was probably like 10 hairs together. It was gross. It was a hair clump. I was like, did you clean the drain out and put it in his omelet?
Oh,
it was gross.
That is so awesome.
But he got his meal free, so that was good.
I'm sure he was thrilled about that, too.
We were drunk as shit and hungry, so we're like, I'm eating another omelet if it comes out. I was like, dude, I don't know, man. You took out a clump of hair. It almost made me stop eating. And then I was like, no, I'm hungry.
That's
sick.
What you get for eating at Perkins.
And then the South Park we saw.
If you haven't seen the You're Not Yelping episode of South Park, the episode itself is funny. The last 2 minutes, the song is absolutely priceless. One of the best.
What was the name of the song?
Let's just say that you have to go and check it out. We're not going to give it away because it kind of ruins everything.
Yeah.
It actually involves human DNA.
Yes.
And
human DNA.
It is probably one of Matt and Trey's funniest songs they've ever done, and they've done some gems. So, yeah. So, hot dogs.
So, human DNA.
Watch out. Watch out where you're getting your hot dogs from.
But, yeah, human DNA could be a lot of things. Hair.
They did say, though, they gave their highest scores to Butterball, McCormick, Eckrich, and Hebrew National.
Nice.
Which all got a score of 96 out of 100 based on their formula.
Quality control.
Quality control.
I like that.
I don't see ballpark on there.
How about the organic ones
Nathan's.
I buy, the uncured hot dog? I don't see them on there.
You sure don't.
They might not have been tested, but then again, it's natural, so who cares?
Could be a little DNA in your dog.
Human DNA is natural, right? It's all organic, natural.
That's true, man. Very true.
Actually, to consider human DNA, you have to eat organic for like a certain amount of time, right? So if you don't, then you're not organic.
I guess not.
Just saying.
Yeah. Here's a little quick hit. So Apple's newest Apple TV is coming out, and it's going to be listed. It's coming out on November the 4th, so next week, and you can start pre-ordering it, I think, tomorrow. So, October 30th, it looks like it's coming out. So, we both have an Apple TV, and it's probably...
Oh, November 4th, it says. Both options list a release date for Best Buy.
Okay. It says next day shipping will get it to your door between October 30th and November 3rd for an added cost.
Why do you need a rush delivery on Apple TV?
Because you just have to have the new features. I don't know. And that's why we even brought it up, because we both have an Apple TV. The current one, until this one comes out. And absolutely love it. Use it for streaming.
I love my Apple
computer,
TV.
Netflix, YouTube, HBO Go.
I don't
whatever.
Have cable. I use Apple TV all the damn time.
It's great. I don't understand why I would buy this new one. I mean, it doesn't do 4K.
So you have the 32 gigabyte versus the 64 gigabyte. I'm like, I never knew it had gigabytes in there.
I don't think the old ones have gigabytes.
But what would you use it for?
I guess you store, if you buy something on iTunes, you could download it.
I'm so stupid. I'm going to have to look this up now.
I don't even understand.
And be like, I don't know what you use the storage for.
Like, I don't know what else you would add to it that it needs more space. Could you put photos on there maybe? Like if you want to do a photo stream?
Put it in the cloud.
Put it in the cloud.
The cloud share, man.
If you have iCloud, you already have that pulling down because you're tied to your account.
It's in the cloud.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It isn't expensive.
You know
it's 50 bucks
do.
More from the 32 to the 64 to the 32. But
with 64 gig, I could store your photos and I could be your cloud.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
I could be your cloud.
You could be my cloud. That sounds like a Taylor Swift song.
I could be your cloud.
I could be a cloud on a rainy day.
Yeah, there you go.
So that was just a quick hit. If you guys have any ideas as to what you can do with your new Apple TV and why you'd want a 64 gig over 32.
Yes, I want to hear
hit
that.
Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter.
If anybody knows,
podcast.
Drop some knowledge. Drop some knowledge.
We have no idea. All right.
All right, so... military tech could make football gear lighter and safer. So they came out with, tubes that they use in the construction of, this gear.
Yeah, they tried actually. It's actually a military research facility came up with this, and they were trying to figure out ways to use it in the military and really couldn't come up with an application. So they entered it into the NFL, had a head and health challenge, and they won all these grants to use this to
add
it back for football.
Right. So instead of doing like – so classically everything's like foam rubber padding. So they're saying it's kind of getting to a point where it's outdated because there's only so much you can do with the density and the foaminess of foam rubber padding. So they came out with this tube filled with like a thickening liquid, and it's actually been proven to like wear better when hit on impact. So it's really kind of cool. I mean, I tell you what, that concussion movie is going to come out soon. That's going to be amazing to watch, and that brings out the whole concussion injury thing with the NFL and just like contact sports. And it even goes to, you know, like going into that technology deep, which is really going to help keep some of these sports around and the safety of things around, not just for like professional athletes, but you see like, you know, kids playing Little League, they have the chest protector for the heart, mm-hmm. like when they're pitching now, because in case they get a ball to the chest, which I'm like, I didn't know
possible.
There's a few kids that have died.
Would you just turn yourself open, or
no? There's a few kids that died. Line drive to the chest, and they hit, and their heart stops, which is just bizarre. Like I played baseball for a long ass time, and I never even knew like this that was a problem. But yeah, some crazy stuff that goes on. But it's going to be interesting. I tell you what, so that movie's going to cause like a crazy.
It's already
amount.
Causing a lot of problems with the NFL and with, you know, agents and players. And
but if you look at a football helmet, right? So like when you have like the old football helmet with like the leather, basically like a hat they were wearing and hitting each other,
yeah.
to like the modern NFL helmet, that helmet really didn't change technology until the last few years. They started changing it a little bit, mm-hmm. but it stayed the same for so many years.
Well, one of the things this article also talks about is that the false sense of security with these newer style helmets. Like, you know, like Justin Tuck had that like Bane style helmet on the Giants and then the Raiders. And they said people, you know, a lot of the players wore these because, you know, it made them look intimidating, but they felt they were more protected. But that also means they're going to act more irrationally and more and crazier because they think they're having more protection with this kind of helmet. So one of the areas they're looking into is how do we get less padding? So, you know, less bulky shoulder pads, less bulky leg pads. And eventually they talk about this, which is so crazy, is a clear helmet. So could you imagine like a clear helmet and face guard?
That'd be great for visibility, because when you wear a helmet, you get like that peripheral vision is so, and then you have like the steel, like mesh guard, especially if you play football, mm-hmm. hockey, the same thing.
I mean, looking down, I mean, what can you really see? I mean, your vision is really impaired.
I mean, you play hockey. I mean, now they have those clear masks, which are great. They're expensive as crap, but like those are pretty cool.
I still wear an old school cage because I've had too many times where sticks would have, if I didn't have that cage, I would have got a stick right, it would have gone underneath the glass and in my eye, pucks, balls, whatever, inside, outside, always had stuff hitting me in the face.
Yeah, that's not good.
I wear the chrome cage, and again, it's not perfect, but I'm not playing professionally.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have that.
That full cage is like, it's helpful.
It is helpful, but it's not fun to wear, but it's better than being hit in the face.
I used to love looking at the old hockey players when they switched to helmets were mandatory except for if you were in the league and didn't wear a helmet.
Yeah.
So then the guys that didn't wear a helmet were like, screw it, I'm not wearing face mask,
Craig
helmet,
McTavish,
nothing. Just
nothing.
Riding out there, I was like, that is freaking dangerous, man.
The best would have been if one guy is like, I'm not wearing a helmet, but I'm wearing goggles.
Yeah, that's right. I just don't want to get poked in the eye.
Still want to get poked in the eye, but not wearing your queer helmet.
I know somebody, an old timer, that was telling me stories about way back when even the goalies were basically just like a basic, that face Jason mask.
Yeah.
And that was it. They didn't even wear a helmet.
It was
pretty
just
a mask.
Pretty much chinette.
Yeah,
you know, like
and
a
they
chinette
were like,
plate.
Guys used to get hit in the side of the head and just go down. Like they were like, you never knew what happened.
There was one guy who died. The one player who died during an NHL game.
It's crazy.
Bill Masters, and that's what happened to him, yeah.
Oh, it's brutal. And you look at what they used to wear to what they wear now, it's like, it's good to see like they progress in the technology because there's so much out there.
Yeah.
You could maybe put a guy in a Tesla or on Mars, but you can't protect the head. I don't know.
It's true. We should be able to figure this out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the next one, I think our lovely Andrew is going to talk about. This was her.
Yeah. This is one of the headlines I saw. I guess vegetarians around the world can rejoice because bacon apparently causes cancer.
Lies. All lies.
All lies. I know. It just came out.
That's by the anti-meat media, I think. Paid for by the anti-meat media.
Yeah, who did this study?
World Health Organization did this study.
Okay, now we know it's skewed.
They're a front. They're a front for something.
Now we know it's skewed.
They're a front for kale.
I know. The bacon I saw this morning said it was cured. So in your face, World Health Organization.
Yeah, bacon is cured.
Get it?
Cured everything.
I like that.
It cured cancer. Boom.
But there is, I guess they published their findings on Monday and says that eating this every day will increase your risk 18%.
Every day?
Which is, well,
okay, even I know that's pretty.
Some people eat bacon every day. I don't know. But
I wish I was one of those people.
I know. I mean, come on. When you put those two words together,
that's
it
like
just
saying,
seems crazy.
Okay, smoking every day is bad for you. Yeah, yes, I believe that.
Yes,
yeah,
smoking. But apparently what they cure the meat with is a carcinogen. So.
Wow. And it comes out when they cook it or something like that? What was it, the old...
No.
Just the whole...
It says grilling, frying, or otherwise cooking the meat at high temperatures create yet other cancer-causing compounds.
Thutmine,
that's why you
got to
cook it slow and low.
Low and slow, baby.
Slow
that's right.
Low.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it says by smoke...
Nitrates and nitrites, I think they were saying.
Nitrites. Yeah.
So it's really... It's not just bacon. It's, you know...
It's a lot of...
It's a lot of processed meat.
That's like if you eat hot dogs... If you eat hot dogs with human DNA every day, I think you'd have the same outcome.
Yeah.
And what if the human that his DNA was in your hot dog was smoking before?
And
then you're pretty much screwed.
What if you're eating Soylent Green?
Soylent Green.
That's people.
Soylent Green is people!
There's human DNA in that. That's all human DNA.
No doubt. So it says here that by smoking increases your relative risk of lung cancer by 2,500%. Eating two slices of bacon a day increases your relative risk for colorectal cancer by 18%.
Yeah.
Wow.
18%.
So instead of smoking it, what if you vaporize it?
Vape your bacon?
Oh, you vape. Bacon vape.
Bacon vape.
Bacon vape.
We have a bacon candle. And I bought it because I thought, wow, this is awesome. It's a candle that smells like bacon. But unfortunately, then I lit the candle and said, oh, this smells like bacon, but there's no bacon for me to eat.
So if you're Orthodox, you can't have that candle.
No. So it's actually just a giant stupid
tease.
That
would be the you know, the biggest like faux pas. Like you bring it out, break it out at like, you know, a religious thing where it's not supposed to have bacon. That would be bad.
Yeah. So... Bacon apparently
increases your risk.
So does you know, driving a car increases the risk of death every day.
Yeah.
How about off a cliff increases the risk of death?
How about a bacon brisket birthday cake with bacon candles?
That sounds ridiculous.
And delicious.
Have you ever seen like the bacon trough they made? Like they made like they weave the bacon together and baked it, and you're able to put chili or something else in the bacon trough. Like
oh, the
bowl.
Bacon bowl. The bacon,
bacon
bowl on TV.
Oh, yes. It's on TV now.
It's as seen on TV, bacon bowl.
I was thinking it was actually a trough. They did, what's that, like, that YouTube, those guys, they do, like, a cooking show, and it's kind of like extreme cooking.
Oh, really?
Damn it. Remember what I'm talking about?
Well, I know that they do some kind of, like, bacon weave. They, like,
that's
weave
what
something
it was.
Together.
The bacon, they do the bacon weave for the bowl.
And there and... all kinds of stuff in there. Yeah, I forget.
I gotta look at it. It's the bacon bowl, and it's here. It is. Images. It's the bacon bowl. The perfect bacon bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So now, and if you act now, you get the extra bacon bowl cookery. Yeah, bacon bowl.
Bacon bowl.
The perfect bacon bowl. So it's as on
Epic Mealtime. That's what it was. Epic Mealtime did like a chili.
Here's that weave
they made.
Yeah, that's it.
That's a weave over, like, something else, though. I think it's, like, a meat thing, and they put the bacon weave on top of it.
There was one that was also, like, a roll that they rolled it.
Do they do that with, like, a turducken? Like, the turducken is the turkey that, like, they stuff...
They stuff the turkey.
I'll never forget the Saturday Night Live one they did, where he's like, and then you stuff a weasel in. He's like, the smallest animal you can get, and he keeps stuffing big animals with smaller animals. It's funny. It's, like, 20 animals. He's like, you stuff them in there.
So the one I'm originally talking about was Epic Mealtime did the chili Four Loko. So they actually made chili. They dumped Four Loko in it. And then they served it out of this bacon trough that they made.
Nice.
It was pretty awesome.
Nothing makes you feel good like better than drink eating bacon out of a trough. Eating chili out of a trough. Bacon trough.
The Four Loko chili. Yeah, it was so good. Wow.
See, that's a like they did like a meatloaf with bacon. And they did the cross stitch, and then they rolled. It was like a, meatloaf pinwheel, bacon pinwheel. Oh, looks delicious.
They poured.
Do the eggs with the little bacon cups, and they do the eggs.
It's chaos. We're looking at two different things right now. So
I know we're on too long. I'm like thinking about food right now. I want to eat some bacon cups with like egg in them.
They actually made a bacon cup for him to drink the Four Loko out of while eating his chili.
Nice. Look at that bacon taco shell.
Oh, that's
Chipotle
a great
needs
idea.
The bacon taco
that's
shell.
Oinkin' moo.
Oinkin' moo.
Forget Chipotle.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oof.
Oh, that looks good. So,
you know what? They could tell you, they could call they
yada, 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 carcinogenic. It's still delicious.
They have an article tomorrow that says, like, bacon breaks your dick. People are still going to eat bacon.
A broke dick bacon eating people.
It's just too good. We just can't stop eating. And it doesn't break your dick. Fact. It actually makes your dick work better.
Bacon's
allegedly.
The only reason I will eat
bacon.
Some vegetables. You got to cook them.
Yeah, wrap them in bacon.
Wrap them in bacon. That's it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
everything in moderation, I guess.
Even moderation.
Yeah.
Ba-da-ba-boo.
I wanted to say that.
I'm sorry.
Ba-da-boo.
I stole your thunder.
I think. So I would like them to do the study to say, is it just bacon or bacon always goes with cheese? So maybe the cheese is what's causing the mixing of the bacon and the cheese. So maybe you have the bacon separate from the cheese. Maybe it's not so bad.
Or what if it's that you're not having enough bacon?
That's what I'm saying.
What if you got to keep going and eating your bacon?
What if you over bacon?
I think over
the
bacon
Wim Hof
fixes.
Method of bacon eating.
Yeah.
Right?
Over bacon.
So Wim Hof, Brian and I may do, we're toying around with this. We got to post that to YouTube. We got to talk about him.
The Iceman?
The Iceman. So he has that where you hyperventilate yourself, and it basically gets you into a state of euphoria, and your body starts going. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, you do that. Instead of hyperventilating on air, you hyper-eat on bacon.
Mm.
And you just hyper-bacon it, and maybe that gets you past, like, the cancer part. You think?
I think so.
It sounds good. Sounds legit.
I'm in.
I'm going to put my thesis on that, and we'll try to prove it out.
Look for that in an upcoming episode.
Look for that in a study, a paper that we're going to write.
Yes.
A research paper.
Peer-reviewed research study. Double-blind placebo.
Double-blind
Yeti placebos.
I don't know what the hell that means, but I'm going to do a double-blind study.
We're going to be legit like that. All right, and we have one final story for the day. REI is closing on Black Friday. So they're doing something different this year at REI. They're closing all 143 stores, and they are paying their employees for not having to come to work that day. And they're encouraging them to go outside and enjoy the day, which I think is a pretty cool move. You know, just how things have gotten so ridiculous over the last couple of years with Black Friday and the malls and the trampling of people and the just the chaotic scenes you see out there. It's cool seeing a company be like, you know what? You can always go online. You can buy stuff, but we're closing our stores. And we want to, you know, REI has this persona, their co-op, and they want to encourage outdoorsmanship and community. And they're actually putting their money where the mouth is, encouraging their employees to go and do that and be what their company presents, which I think is a pretty cool move.
Well, that's kind of like, so they're a co-op company, which is good to see, right? So that's a little bit different than a corporate company. I mean, corporate companies, they make a ton of money. And bottom line is, I don't have a lot of sympathy for when people say, oh, they shouldn't make us work on the weekends or Black Friday or whatever. I used to work a lot of jobs. I've done a lot of work. I used to work 6 days a week, you know, every week, just because that's what I had to do. And if I didn't work, I didn't make money. So I have very little sympathy for people that say, oh, they shouldn't make us work on Black Friday. Well, then don't work Black Friday. Oh, I might lose my job. Well, then go into a different line of work. I mean, they're not going to close the restaurants and the bars and everything because they want to give everybody off, because somebody wants hours. I mean, somebody wants a shift. I mean, I understand it, but
I see what you're saying, but I don't think they did it because the employees were complaining about it. I think they did it as kind of a gesture against the over-commercialization and to kind of embrace the lifestyle that their company promotes. And
yeah.
that's, you know, to
Which
be,
is, yeah,
to be outdoorsy.
Reason.
It's not like, you know, Toys R Us would never do that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Walmart would never do
that.
Well,
we saw that thing on GoPro, and GoPro closes every Friday early. And they encourage their people to go out, take the GoPros, and do stuff outdoors, which is great. You're in a better, you're in a warmer climate, you know.
I wonder if since they went public, they still do that. And now they have stockholders.
You really want it. But that's part of their corporate culture. To take that out takes a while. But
and that destroys the brand and what they are. If they take that away, that destroys what GoPro is all about.
Yeah.
I have noticed, though, I don't know if you guys have noticed, this the past couple of weeks, a lot of new GoPro commercials kind of showing more of like family oriented situations. You know, the kid is sledding and he's got the GoPro on, or the kid's riding his bike and he's got the GoPro on. So they're really trying to push that whole, you know, family, and, you know, these are the moments, the history of these kids' lives. You want to document it. That's so they're kind of pushing that angle, not just the extreme sports angle.
I take you back. You remember the Kodak and the Polaroid commercials? Same concept. They're going to that market.
What's Kodak?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
What's Polaroid?
You wonder, like, so they're running through their life cycle. Now they're looking for other markets, like the cross sell and get everybody interested. So I tell you what, the biggest thing now is freaking drones. Drones is like the new, like, there are companies that are IPOing for drones that are just like going through the roof. And they say that's like the way the the 3D printer went. They were talking about 3D printer companies, and their stock went through the roof. And now they're like worthless because they're like
plummeted. Yeah,
they're like, well, there's only going to be a certain need. It's like a niche market. Like a lot of companies sold out of them, and they almost say like, you know, the drones are like that's the next big thing. Is it going to stick? Is it going to be like a fad? I don't know. And where do regular cameras fit in this? Everybody has their phone. If their phone, if your phone was a better camera, most people would probably just use that.
What about a world where your phone is a drone
and a regular phone?
No, it's a regular phone, but if you wanted to, you could send it up. Maybe that's what the Apple Watch is all about. The Apple Watch is actually going to be a remote control for your phone that is actually a drone. So you can start flying your phone drone with your watch.
That would be good if they thought about that. The Apple Watch is just another thing to sell you to go along with your Apple.
How right do you now. Know that this isn't like point beta 0.01 version of Apple's vision?
Because Steve Jobs isn't around anymore. He would make that happen.
Do you remember the original?
I don't have the faith in it.
iPod, the original giant iPod for $500, which held 5 gigabytes of songs. And now that everything that happened, all the development has led to the current iPhone. I think the phone will become a drone, and the Apple Watch or whatever brand watch is going to be the remote control for that drone.
I almost think you'll be talking about the Samsung soon.
What about like a ring? Like you can control your drone, like twisting the ring on your finger, and that's the remote control for the drone.
Fuck all that. I want a brain pal. I want a brain pal. I want a brain chip insert. I want to control everything without having to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't have to do anything.
So you
want
to be like the guys, like the people, like the human beings in WALL-E, where you have like your little cart. And you're just getting like giant fat on that thing, and just
I want to just be able to like control my phone without having to like pull up like 5 different menus to be able to text, have the text get autocorrected to be wrong. It's horrible. Absolutely
so
horrible.
For all of our,
it's unacceptable.
For all of our listeners out there who don't know what a brain pal is, if you haven't ever read the book Old Man's War, it's the first. It's a series of I think what 7 books, maybe 6,
yeah,
7,
it's like
8 books,
7.
John Scalzi is a dynamite.
Oh, I have the new one that
science,
I just read.
Fiction author.
Yeah.
And the first one, it's one of the coolest books.
It's really cool.
So just to give you a little premise of what's going on. So it's the future, and in the military, what, you have to be like 70 years or older to join?
When you hit 75 years old, you get the chance to go into the military for the rest of your life.
Yes.
So you just have to make it to age 75, and then it's this. The thing is, the people on Earth don't know exactly what goes on. They just know it's like
a
magical
leave, yeah.
thing, and people disappear.
Never come back, yeah.
It's supposed to be great, but they don't know exactly what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, like, there's all this technology that goes into, like, actually making people into something else, which is pretty freaking awesome. But yeah. It's all tech-based and patented, which is the funniest thing because like there's a patent on it. But one of the things they have is a brain pal. So it's a brain chip insert, and you can control everything with like your thought. And I think
there was like a device though too, right? Almost like a Palm Pilot, because this book is several years old, and it's almost like a Palm Pilot device that you had that you can control things with.
Right, but you could also think things, and it'll go onto the
went into your brain pal. You can call it whatever you wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you could look at it, like you could pull stuff up off the internet or off the research libraries and whatever.
That's probably gonna happen. So aren't they making a movie out of that? I know, or there was a brain pal was in.
But as a programmer, I was thinking about this the other day. As a programmer, you're doing stuff on a device with a keyboard and a screen, mm-hmm. right? In some way, you get to a point where that's going to limit what you can do, right? So now people have two screens and a keyboard, whatever. Like, then you talk about maybe you have to go virtual reality, maybe you have to go into something else. But until you change that medium, you're not going to break out of like the limitations you have with that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
No, you know what? They're actually at TechCrunch this past summer. TechCrunch Disrupt. There was a company that had a product called BrainPal.
Nice.
And it tracks how different apps affect your mood. So it's like this little headband, and there's like an API that you can, hook up to your phone, and it tracks your moods.
Is it like a mood ring? Turns color?
Kind of ish, but I think it actually has real data that it tracks.
How much of a disappointment was the goddamn mood ring? Did you ever have a mood ring?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See. Yeah.
Mood earrings too.
Ooh. Mood earrings. Did they change color?
They did.
Was it with the weather, like the temperature changing?
Yeah, the temperature.
Damn it.
Put my finger on it. Damn it. Turned like a turquoise blue. Ooh.
You're like, yeah, this sucks.
Thanks. Otherwise, they were black. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. So I think I said about wraps it up. We definitely went all over the place this week, but I think it was some pretty good, some pretty smart ideas, some brilliant ideas. So look for the Yetis out on your local ski slopes this winter.
They weren't privy to that whole conversation we had. That was off.
Oh, no, it was.
Part of it.
Most of it.
We extended off air.
We did extend it off air, but most of it's out there. So, yeah. So I want to thank Andrea for joining us this week.
Thank you, Andrea.
Lovely having you. Hopefully we'll see you again in the
definitely have to
future.
Come back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. Really appreciate it. Check us out again, skibumpodcast.com. Hit us up on iTunes. Subscribe. Rate us 5 stars because we're awesome and we love you. Hit us up Facebook/SkiBumPodcast or Twitter @SkiBumPodcast. And that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we are going to the Warren Miller Chasing Shadows
premiere. Yes, I was going to say.
In Morristown, New Jersey. As well as the New Jersey Ski Council meeting.
Next week's going to be a humdinger.
It's going to be action-packed.
Then we got Halloween. We have a few parties. We have Hoboken Ski Club. You guys have another party. Like, there's shit going on this week, too.
A lot of stuff going on. So
we're going to fit the podcast in. I think we're probably going to podcast before Warren Miller and then after.
Yeah, we won't let you guys down. Don't you worry. We'll have something next week. And so we will see you next week.
Stay high, stay flutin'.
See ya.